Can we get a big round of applause for our little guys? That's awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for visiting us. Come back soon. Thank you for the bookmarks. I'm sure we'll use those. I got two. Don't tell anybody. That's pretty awesome. I got one from Jake, my son, and then another one. I don't remember who it was. Gianna. It was great. So, welcome. We're glad you're here. We've been in a series called Walking with Jesus. So this is week four, five, something like that, week four. So if you miss out on the other ones, you can go online and listen to it, but it's no big deal. You'll catch up today. But the idea is, as a disciple of Jesus, walking with Jesus, then we should have an experience kind of like the disciples and learning the same lessons that they learned as if they were walking with Jesus, while they were walking with Jesus. So we're kind of following their journey as they walk with Jesus to kind of apply the same stuff, the same scenarios that they were in to our lives and see what God wants to teach us and grow us. So that should be pretty fun. So this week, I'm going to look at the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you have ever heard of the Sermon on the Mount? Okay, great. I'll just quit. This is great. You guys got this, right? But I'm gonna walk through it, and I want to key in on a really important part. It's Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Luke 6, verse 27. So if you have a Bible this morning, you can turn there. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. And I'm going to read 27 through 31. And this is after Jesus had already started the Sermon on the Mount. He'd gotten kind of his introduction, the Beatitudes, blessed are the, blessed are the, blessed are the. He'd kind of gotten through that part. And this is the very next part that he gets to says this. And this is really controversial and really kind of messes me up. So I wanted to read it for you guys this morning. And hopefully we'll work through it and figure it out. It says, but I say unto you, which hear. So everybody got ears? Okay, that's me too. Even if you hear poorly, at least you hear. I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. As you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this, even though I'm a pastor, even though I'm supposed to be all holy and stuff, that freaks me out. That sounds like crazy talk. It just really sounds like crazy talk. I have a real problem with this passage of scripture because it seems insane. And to be truthful, in our world, to try to apply this in our world, it is insane. Like, you look crazy. You feel crazy. And the problem is that I'll be taken advantage of. If I follow what Jesus says here, to give to other people, to love people that hate me, my enemies, if I pray for the bad people and people that curse me, I bless them, and I let people borrow stuff and never expect it back, and I just, you know, give to everybody who asks. How's that going to work out for me? Like, that's going to be a problem, right? I know some of you guys won't loan stuff out and, you know, hey, can I borrow that? Nope, I'm sorry, man, I don't loan it out. I loaned it out one time before and never came back. You know, I still have Pastor Joe's stapler in my car. He's never getting that back. What was he thinking, right? Like, this happens all the time, right? It's true.
And my cable.
And your cable. I got his HDMI cable too, right? He packed it up in a bag, sent it home with the kids. He'll never see it again. Like, who's he kidding? We do this stuff all the time. We borrow stuff. We forget about it, you know. It's just human nature. And so to say, I'm going to loan stuff, I'm going to give stuff, and then that's one thing to give to, like, family. I mean, he's my father-in-law, right? He could get it back if he really wants it, you know. He knows where I live and stuff. But what about people that hate you and want to use you, like, deliberately? That's what he's talking about. It's crazy. And the problem is it's unfair. It's unfair. It fundamentally feels unfair. This whole thing, give to every man that asks of thee, and to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Unto him that smiteth thee, the person that hits you on one cheek, offer also the other cheek to him. Are you crazy? Like, this is bad news. And it feels unfair. And we know, living in our culture, it's a given, and we teach our kids this, and we learn this growing up, that we have to guard ourselves. I have to guard myself. Because if I don't guard myself and watch out for me, who's going to watch out for me? It's bad news out there. It's a dog-eat-dog world, we like to say. It's my responsibility. I believe it's my responsibility to ensure fairness. Okay? It's my responsibility to ensure fairness for me. Let me draw you an illustration. And we're going to try and see if this works through the magic of technology. You guys get to see some of my wonderful drawings here. I know it's your favorite thing. If I can get the right button. It's going to hate me. Here we go. Mirroring. Is it on? Ta-da! Wait for it. We got to put it on HDMI. That's the one that Pastor Joe's cable's on. No, just kidding. But here's the idea. So I think a lot of times, and you guys probably too, that's pretty. Let's see. I want this button, and I got yellow. Okay, so imagine this is me, right? I'm this yellow dot here. You guys see that? Can you guys see that?
Yes.
All right, cool. Just make sure you're awake. Okay, and then over here is, say, my wife, right? This is me again, just so you don't forget. That's an arrow. It's a really bad arrow. We're just going to retreat on that. This is my wife over here. Maybe this is my kids, okay? This is my in-laws. You know, their driveway needs shoveled, and it's really bad. Pastor Joe's sick, so that's not looking good for me. So there's this circle of stuff around me. There's this world around me, and I got my job. I got my kids. I got, like, responsibilities and people and stuff, and I have to deal with all this stuff in my life, right? There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. People that vie for my attention, maybe my time with charity that I spend on the side or volunteering somewhere. You know, all these are on my wheel. And I have to kind of manage all this stuff in my life, right? And I got to manage the flow. I'm like the traffic cop saying, okay, come on, you know, do we have this in our schedule? Can we fit this? Do we have this in the budget? You know, can I buy new shoes for the kids? And then at the same time, you know, I want to give to this charity over here. And then, you know, my sister calls and says, can I borrow some money? And so now I got to weigh that and see, well, you know, how much money has she borrowed in the past? And I got to weigh all this stuff. My sister hasn't actually asked to borrow money, but just for instance. So I'm weighing all this stuff, and at the center of it, it's my job to kind of traffic cop this stuff and figure out what's fair. What's fair? Okay? So say Lucas, this kid right here, brings home a bad report card, which he didn't. He brought home an awesome report card. Awesome job, Lucas. But say he brought home a bad report card. Okay? And so then he wants, like, a new Xbox game or something over here. Bad report card. No Xbox game, right? Like, that's what dad does, okay? I'm figuring out this world. I'm looking at the resources and the flow. It's because that would be unfair. He brings home this horrible report card with D's on it. Here's a new Xbox game. You know, that's not good. That would be unfair, right? Yes, it would be unfair. Okay. You know, it's the same thing with your kids. One kid wants something. Well, now we got to make sure another kid gets something. Fairness is very important to all of us, even when we get older. And we know life's not fair, and then you die, you know. We know that, but still, there's this kind of teeter-tottering thing that we do. We try to maintain fairness in the world. So when we look at something, and I'm going to go ahead and turn off the fairness wheel, because it's not fair. But when we look at something like this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 6, if I'm at the center of my world, that I'm responsible to make sure that everything comes my way and that life is fair as I can make it. Life has to stay as fair as I can possibly manage it to be for me. Right? I mean, that's kind of what we believe. That's kind of what our culture teaches. That's what being an adult is in a lot of ways. I got to make sure if I'm going to go buy a car that I'm not taken advantage of. I got to make sure that I'm not cheated, okay? So when I read a passage of scripture like this and he says, you know, do nice things to bad people and love people that don't love you and turn the other cheek, and it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair. And I got a problem with that. And here's where we're going to try to start to dismantle this situation, because I had to do it in my own heart, because I sit in my office and I'm thinking, it's not fair. Like, this is a problem. Like, you just go out and say, like, oh, we should all do this. You know, when in my heart, I've got an issue here. And so I think if I have an issue with it, you probably have an issue with it too. So let's start to tear this apart and see what it looks like. We believe that we've earned everything we have, most of us. Okay, some of you guys know maybe that you didn't earn everything you have. You received stuff, maybe it was a gift, maybe it was inheritance, but for the most part, in America, our culture, our value says, if I have something, I worked for it. Okay? I earned it, it's mine. Now, we could argue that point until we're blue in the face for 100 years, you know, of like nurture versus nature and where you grew up and, you know, all these. But I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you that point. I'm going to say, okay, what you got, you earned. For the sake of argument, whatever you have, you know, you worked 30 years, 60 years, 3 years, you earned it. It's yours to do with however you want, okay? Because we're in America, that's how we think, right? It's mine. I earned it. You know, if I want to wreck it into the wall, I'll wreck it into the wall, you know, and it's mine to do with as I please. Okay, so you win that argument. You have what you have because you earned it. You get to call the shots. So now let's bring in some scenarios and see how that worldview, I'm in the center of the spoke, I get to call the shots, see how this goes. So here's scenario one, and it's a bad scenario, so hate to be a bummer, but, you know, it's a good one. I mean, it's not good, it's bad, but you'll see. Okay, imagine that your child or loved one, maybe a son or daughter or grandchild, wife, husband, dad, sister, your cousin, imagine someone you really care about, significant other, is kidnapped. I know it's horrible, but you watch movies about it, okay? So give me some slack, all right? So we got Liam Neeson here, you know, taken part four, you know. One of your family members was taken from you. It's a terrible, tragic situation. Kidnapped from you. Gone. And your contact with the ransom, ask. And they ask, I want 25% of your total worth. 25% of everything you own. How many of you would give it to get your loved one back? All right. Some of you guys are heartless jerks, but for the most part, you're all on board with me. It's going to get worse. Okay, the jerk pool is going to grow, okay? It's all right. Now, what about 50%? How many of you are still in? You give half of what you got to get back your grandchild, your son, daughter. Okay. What? Did you not put your hand up?
I don't know who it is.
Oh, okay. The one you love, all right? Your favorite kid. All right. 50% for your favorite kid, right? Favorite, all right? It might be your husband, and you'd be like, keep him. Okay, all right, this is fair. What about 75%? How many of you would give 75% to get back your favorite person on the whole planet? It means the most to you. All right, how many of you would give 100%? You'd just give it all. Just the clothes on your back is all you'd have left. That's a lot. You would give everything that you've earned to get that person back, because that person is important. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Most of us would pay. Most of us, to be reunited with our loved one, to see them one more time, to be able to see them smile, to be able to hug them and kiss them and be with them, we would give whatever it takes to get that back. And you see that all the time. Most of us would do that. We would pay. Some of you, though, wouldn't. Okay? All right, maybe you even raised your hand because you wanted to fake it because it's church, you know, and that guy in the blue shirt's probably going to point at you, you know, because you're that guy. But some of you would maybe say, well, maybe I wouldn't. But if it was you, if you're the kidnapped person and you got to pay a ransom to get away, or they're going to like cut you into bits, like one finger at a time, then you would pay, right? That's just where we're at. I mean, some of us are there. Then you would pay. You would pay. They'd get to the second knuckle, and you'd be like, all right, take my Visa. You know, you would be like, whatever it is. Okay? You would totally pay. Now, in this scenario, you go to pay the ransom. You got everything you own. I mean, you sold the car. You, like, take a taxi to get there. You got just the clothes on your back. And you're like, here's all of my money. Everything sold. And they count it up. And they say, it's not enough. It's not enough. What now? And then this guy shows up on the scene and he says, wait here a second. He goes and talks to the people. And he comes back and he talks to you. He says, look, I worked out a deal. You keep all your stuff. He hands you all your money back. All your stuff. You keep all your stuff. I paid for them. It's taken care of. But here's the deal. From here on out, I'm giving you all your stuff back. You don't have to pay anything. But I expect you and your stuff to be available at my disposal if I ever need to help someone else. Is it a deal? Would you take that deal? Some of you guys shaking your head. How many of you would take that deal? You get all your stuff back, but it got to be available in case he needs to help someone else. So it's kind of like maybe 80% in here. You know, some of you guys, the 20% is probably asleep. It's okay. But, you know, that's a hard deal. That's something to think about. That would be a hard deal. Would that be a fair deal? Who says that's a fair deal? Who says that's an unfair deal? Anybody? Xenia, you think that's an unfair deal? You don't deserve to get your money back? For him, it's not fair, but for you, is it? It's feeling pretty fair, right? Okay. All right, so Xenia's saying it's not fair because, like, he's paying all the stuff. Like, it's all his risk. It's all on him. And she's right. She's right. I'll give her that point. But from my perspective, it's feeling pretty fair. Okay? I'm thinking, yes. So I can keep my car and my house and get my kids back too. And I just got to be ready in case there's a theoretical phone call in the future where you need me to help you get someone else free. Like, yeah. Yes, I'll take that deal. I would take the deal. You were going to lose all you had anyways. So all you have to be available if I need it to help someone else. That would be the deal, and most of us would do it. We would say that that's fair enough for me to take, but it's really not fair for the rescuer guy. And really, some of you guys are catching on to this, but this is exactly what Jesus has done for us. This is exactly what Jesus has done for us. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin, that means the stuff that we've done, the lying and the cheating and the stealing and the screaming at our kids, you know, and calling our wife that name and her calling us the name and throwing the thing across the house, you know, and just the fighting on the way to church and the getting all mad at your mom and saying all those mean things you wish you could take back and getting mad at the kid and all the stuff that we've done and the figures we fudged at work and all that stuff, that's all sin. God calls that sin. It's something we did. We messed up either accidentally or on purpose to try to get ahead, to try to make the world a little more fair for me. All right, I'm guilty. You're guilty. We've all done this stuff. And he says, because you do that, you deserve death. Like, you earned it. It calls it wages, the wages of sin. Like, what you paid, what you earned, you deserve death. And so, like, we're kind of stuck. We're in a pickle. And Jesus came along and ransomed us with his blood, with his own self. He said, I will take their place. And as we're walking by, he says, I'm going to call you someday. I'm going to call you someday. You take this deal. I'm going to call you someday. You better be ready to use yourself and your resources to help rescue someone else. Let me tell you another story. All right? Here's another scenario, okay, to help us understand and kind of wrap our minds around this passage. Is there anyone in here that's a helicopter pilot? That's a shame. I could really use a helicopter pilot. Carmen, I got your number. All right, thanks. I'm going to keep you in my speed dial, Carmen, in case I need you. Imagine you're in a foreign country and you get arrested for a crime. All right? Let's see, we need a crime. Steve, give us a good crime that we're all guilty of.
Murder.
Murder, okay. Don't sit by Steve. No, just kidding, just kidding. So we all committed murder, you know. We had a good reason, I'm sure. I don't know why we murdered somebody, but we did. We're in prison, we're in Mexico, in a Mexican jail, because of murder. Okay? Here we are, in shackles, in a Mexican prison. You know, nothing to our name. You know, we don't even have enough stuff to buy cigarettes. So, that was a joke, okay? So, we're in prison. Our government calls Mexico's government, hey, you know, all those people that went to that church and committed murder, you know, we want to get them out, get them back to the States. You know, Mexican prisons are nasty. We want to. So they try the diplomacy thing. They even pay money. Well, it's going to cost a lot of money. Oh, we'll pay for it. So they pay to get us out of prison. They do the diplomacy thing, but they still won't let us go. So Uncle Sam, President Obama, sends in SEAL Team 6 to rescue us. The helicopter shows up, right? It's flying over the prison. We all go running out, you know, and Jarrett gets there first because he's fast, and I'm right behind him, you know, because I think I'm fast. So Jarrett climbs up the ladder, and then I climb up the ladder, and I'm climbing up the ladder, and I get in the top of the chopper, and I turn around, and I start pulling up the ladder. And the guy in the helicopter looks at me and says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm pulling up the ladder. We got to go." And the guy says, "But what about the other people?" And I look at him, I say, "Are you crazy? They're criminals." What's he going to say to me? He's going to look at me and say, "With all due respect, sir, 30 seconds ago, you were a criminal. Throw down the ladder. I'm going to throw you out," right? I'm a soldier. I have a job to do. You don't get to make foreign diplomacy. Get in the back of the chopper and let down the ladder, right? But that's exactly what we do as Christians so many times. Jesus shows up in our world with this awesome helicopter, you know, and the black hop and the ropes come flying down. It's like everything was going to break in our world. Our world was a mess. It was a wreck. We had all kinds of problems. And Jesus shows in, comes into our life, and saves us, rescues us from us. And we climb up the ladder, we get to the top, and we're like, "Oh my gosh, thank goodness." And we start pulling the ladder up. And Jesus says, "What about all the other criminals?" And he tells us, "Bless them that bless you." In fact, he goes on. Let's read the next couple. We'll skip that. We'll drop down. He says, verse 32, "If you love them that love you, what thank have ye?" Like, how does that make you any better? "For sinners also love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to whom you hope to receive," like if you just lend to people who you know they're going to give it back with interest and they're going to hook you up later on, "what thank have ye? How does that make you any better? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful like me and like you. He's kind to the evil like me and like you." And he sums it all up beautifully. "Be therefore merciful as your Father is merciful." We are supposed to be merciful just like God is merciful. God is at the center of the wheel, and we're a little dot on the edge. And he is directing the traffic in our world. And he ransomed us and saved us. And he calls each and every one of us to use our resources, our time, our money, our stuff, our abilities, everything we've got to throw down the ladder to the next guy, to help someone else. So when Jesus calls and says, I got somebody in bondage, I need a ransom, what do we say? That's not fair, man. Is it fair? Is it fair for us to use our resources, our stuff? Is it fair for us to turn the other cheek, to take a wrong? In this scenario, yeah. Yeah, it's more than fair. It's more than fair. Okay, I'll turn the other cheek if it'll mean I get to throw down the ladder. And I might not even see that person change. We don't do this stuff because it doesn't feel like it works right away. But God's working behind the scenes. He's pulling the strings. You don't know what's going to happen in that person's life when you love them and you bless them when they don't deserve it. You don't know who else they're going to run into that's also SEAL Team 6 that's going to throw them another ladder and another ladder. Maybe they take the third ladder that's thrown to them. And the first two guys, they just lost out on their resources, supposedly. But all the time, God's trying to rescue them. That's fair. When we look at it from God's perspective, this isn't a lot to ask of us. But it feels like it. It feels like it. You're not in charge of fairness. I'm not in charge of fairness. So this morning, I'm going to wrap it up here. And I want to get personal with you, as if that wasn't personal enough, right? If you're a Christian this morning, are you using your life, your resources, to throw down the ladder to others? Or are you pulling it up? I got to tell you, I'm guilty of both. Depending on the day, some days I'm a ladder thrower, man. I'm like, woo, let's save them all. On other days, I wake up and I'm like, I'm such a jerk, but I just want to pull up the ladder. I'm guilty of that. I got to deal with that. I got to look at that. Because if I'm one of Jesus' disciples and I'm standing there and he's giving this message to all these people, I'm standing there thinking, what did I sign up for? Whoa. And then he says, let's go to the next city. Like, if I'm going to follow him, if I'm going to go to the next city, that means I'm on board. I'm on board. If I'm going to go to small group here at Calvary, that means I'm on board. If I'm going to show up in a worship service and sing and partake in everything that we've got going, that means I'm on board. I can't just show up and be like, yeah, that's me. And then Jesus says, hey, help that guy. Well, no, I can't do that. I can't be that guy. So if you're a Christian this morning, I want you to wrestle with that. Are you a ladder thrower or a ladder puller? If you're not a Christian this morning, I want you to think about the deal, because it's a good deal. Because the truth is, if you don't take the deal that Jesus offers you to rescue your life, to come in with his rescue chopper and pull you up, if you don't take that deal, you're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck. I was stuck. Most of the people in here who have accepted Christ, they could all tell you story upon story that would blow your mind about the stuckness that they were in when Jesus came to rescue them. And they would love to do that if you have time. But this morning, I want to encourage you to take this deal. Ask Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord. Let's all stand together. I'm going to ask if we could all bow our heads and close our eyes, not because it's anything magical, but it just gives privacy. It gives privacy for you and other people around you to think and talk to God. I want to know this morning, are you a Christian that's a ladder puller? Because if you are, I want to encourage you this morning that God's not done with you. God's not done with you. And as we walk with him, and as we let go of the ladder one rung at a time and put it down, he will watch out for you. He is at the center of the spokes. He has got your back. And it's scary, but he does have your back, I promise you that. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not quite ready to make that deal, like, that's hard. It's a big step, and it is a big step. And I don't want anybody to take it lightly. I don't want you to make a decision because it looks cool or makes your friend happy or any other reason. This is legit. This is between you and God. But if you're ready this morning to take that deal, then don't hold back. Because I'm throwing a ladder to you this morning. You got to ask yourself, am I going to climb the ladder or am I going to just let it fly by? Because another one might not come. I don't know. I don't know what's got planned for your life, but I know this morning you've got a chance. You've got a chance to take a ladder and say, I want to be in Jesus' helicopter. I want to be in Jesus' family. I want him to control my life. I'm going to remove myself from the center, put myself on the outside, and make myself available to God. If that's you, then I want to invite you to come on down to the altar. Just come on down and pray. Someone will come pray with you. If you're a Christian this morning and you want to pray to God, then come on down right now. Don't delay. Just step on out. I'm going to pray here in a second. We're going to be done. But if you want to make a decision this morning, right now is your chance. Come on. Come on out. Don't delay. God, this morning, I pray for the Christian. Pray for the Christian who, like myself, reads this passage of scripture and it freaks them out. It scares them, God, because it seems so unfair. It seems so scary to put all of ourselves, all of our trust in you. Even turning the other cheek and all the things that you ask of us, God, I pray that we would be willing to do that because of the deal that we made with you, because of the gift that we received from you. Lord, I pray that we would live accordingly. And we would live fair in your eyes, not our own. God, for the person this morning that maybe has never taken that, or maybe even standing where they're at this morning, they put out a hand and grabbed the ladder. Lord, I pray you would honor that. I pray that they would seek out either me or Pastor Joe or one of the other people in church and just have a conversation about that. We can walk them through and explain exactly what that means, God. Pray that you continue to bless us and help us to follow you as your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.